Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, broadcasting from Patriot territory into the occupied zones, outside the wire in occupied territory. For all of you that are stuck there, God bless you. We are broadcasting from the free zones, from the heart of the American Redoubt. Hope you guys had or having a blessed weekend. Really good. This is episode 2007, the seventh podcast of 2020, and it has not been uneventful. We've got some really cool stuff that we want to talk about tonight. I want to pick up where we left off, talking about the advancement of communism, Marxism, and the six phases. Excellent article that I started diving into. Somebody did some really good research and I've pulled a lot of stuff together. I want to share that with you in segments 3 and 4. Segment 2, we're going to talk more about the kind of the reaction to this coronavirus situation. Just tonight, earlier this evening, Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher were on the PrepperNet YouTube channel. Each night they've been hosting a live interview, discussion, a YouTube live, with various different hosts and subject matter experts in various different fields related to preparedness. So last night, it was really a treat. Now, I'm going to talk about this, but last night they had Sam Culper from Forward Observer, the intelligence, the Patriot and Preparedness Intelligence Network and training site, and then along with myself representing Amron and talking about that. So that was a lot of fun. I'm going to talk about that in segment 2 as well. But first, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by the authors, plural, Glenn Tate of the 299 Days 10 book series, and his bride, also an author now, Shelby Gallagher, who is the author of the 3-book series, A Great State. And all of those books are out in audio now. And also they do the Prepping 2.0, talking about the next level of preparedness with their podcast. So don't forget to check that out as well. And that's Prepping2-0.com. Prepping 2.0 is 2-0 for their URL. So in the news, Breitbart News, really interesting. I'm starting to think here, Donald Trump 2024. I'm not talking about the current sitting 45th president, probably the boldest, most audacious fighting president that we've ever had at the time that we are facing, with the challenges that we are facing. When the world is so crazy insane that we have somebody just as bold and audacious and offensive. Who's he offending? He's offending the enemies of America. So who cares? He's got my full backing. Well, his son, Donald Trump Jr., just might be the one we might want to start thinking about getting behind. I'm sure some people have already thought about it. But at the CPAC, in an interview during CPAC with the NRA, Donald Trump Jr. warned that the left is gunning for our liberties, and he urged Americans to hold to their Second Amendment rights, quote, unquote, at all costs. And I think we can relate to that. That's what it's going to take. His words come as prominent Democrat presidential hopeful Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Mike Bloomberg are all running on changing the legal landscape to allow gun manufacturers to be sued for the misuse of their products. Unreal. On February 24th, 2020, Biden called out gun manufacturers, warned that he was coming for them, and added, "I'm going to take you down," though Sleepy Joe says. Well, he's not going to make it that far anyway. They're starting to drop out, and he just doesn't have the sand to stand up against President Trump. And I would love to see President Trump just annihilate Bernie Sanders in this coming election. Well, he would annihilate any of them. I guess Pete Buttigieg just pulled out, so he's not in the race anymore. He and his husband are packing it up and heading out, hitting the road. So anyway, America's just not ready for that yet. They're only ready for communism, not homosexual socialist communism. I don't even know what to make of that. Anyway, see ya down the road. You go. So now Biden, he's good for a good laugh anyway. He's amusing to watch. I kind of would like to see him stick around long enough just to have something for some comedic relief throughout the voting season. I can't see him really making it, actually. He's kind of on his last leg. But anyway, he's going to take down the gun manufacturers, he says. Look, gun manufacturers are making firearms. They are made for combat, especially the AR-15 producers. These are combat rifles, all right? They should be select fire, full auto fire, but as it stands, they're only semi-automatic, but you can do a lot of damage with semi-automatic. And these things are designed for that purpose. I mean, can you imagine every time they killed some civilians in Afghanistan to sue General Dynamics or Lockheed Martin because their products were misused, and some innocent civilians were bombed in a strafing run in Iraq or Afghanistan? Can you imagine them being able to sue the manufacturers of these weapons? That's what they're designed to do. You hold the user accountable if they're misused. You don't hold the manufacturers of the equipment. What are you going to do? You want to put them out of business? Put Lockheed Martin out of business. Put General Dynamics out of business. Put all these companies out of business that make the cutting edge, top of the line military equipment that makes us the most powerful, one of the things that makes us the most powerful nation that's ever existed on the face of the planet. These people are morons. But nobody ever really accused Democrats of being, you know, brilliant, especially at this level. This is amazing. This is the cream of their crop. Listen to them talk. Anyway, let's move on to the next one there. InfoWars. Hey, great. I love hearing about these stories. I got a chance to talk to some Cuban immigrants recently. Well, not recently. Actually, it's been about a year. But I got to spend some time talking with them, and it was just really interesting to see their take on communism. Well, InfoWars is covering this out of Miami, Florida. There is a video now that's being released showing Cuban Americans holding massive protests in support of, these are protests against the leftists, in support of President Trump and against communism. That was yesterday. Footage showed dozens of cars waving Trump and Cuba flags as excited Cuban Americans cheering for the president. This is great. I love seeing that kind of stuff. This comes after the Democrat socialist candidate Bernie Sanders. He's not a Democrat socialist. He's a straight up communist. Anyway, he reiterated his praise for the Fidel Castro regime in his comments made during CBS at 60 Minutes last week. In other news, absent Republicans not exempt from subpoenas, the Oregon state attorney says. This sounds like deja vu. House Republicans hiding out of state to block climate change legislation are likely not exempt from subpoenas Democrats issued this week, according to legislative lawyers. So here we are again to deny these guys. They are introducing this absolutely insane climate hoax legislation. And if it goes to vote, the Democrats or the Democratic Socialists, the globalists, the Marxists. They have the votes to outnumber the Republicans. But they have to have a quorum. A minimum number of people have to participate in the vote for them to have a quorum. If they don't have enough people, they can't hold the vote. So the Republicans just left. And so now they don't have a quorum. So they cannot, by the rules, they cannot even take this to a vote. So they're sitting there stuck trying to get this dream legislation passed. They did the same thing last year. And they coaxed the Republicans into coming back. Okay, we'll drop this piece of legislation for this session. Well, here it is again. They're not gonna let up. They're just not gonna stop. The Marxists are just not going to stop. Interesting, watching some of the headlines here. Stores in Europe and the United States being wiped out now. In response to the coronavirus fears. Costco lines wrapped around Costco's all across America. Pictures are flowing now across the internet of empty store shelves. You'd think that a category 4 or 5 hurricanes bearing down, about ready to hit the East Coast, but where these pictures are taken. But it's not. It's just the coronavirus fears. And what's also interesting is how this culture paints preparedness-minded people, preppers, survivalist preppers, as wackos. Well, they're not acting out of fear. They're not acting out of panic. They just see potential trouble on the horizon. So they store up, and there's no panic. There's just a sense of urgency and purpose. But they're the wackos, right? According in the eyes of this culture. Well, now the preppers are sitting back. Everything's good to go. They're making sure their fuel's topped off. Nobody's in panic mode except for all of the rest of the culture that looks at preppers as a bunch of weirdo and wackos. And who's the weirdos and wackos standing there hours before Costco opens so they can rush in and grab the little buckets of survival food, or come in like locusts and clearing out the Mormon LDS food bank stores. They're saying, and some of them are saying, well, you know, we still have food, but we definitely have seen a really sharp uptick in people coming here for food, and others are out of food. It's just really, really incredible. There's an open thread over at Western Rifle Shooters Association, and the listener who sent this in typed this in underneath the link. Whatever the hive mind is, whatever the herd mentality is going to be, we will see it next week, no doubt. I love a show. And it's true. I think we're really starting to see how fragile and unresilient our culture is. And so, hey, God bless those of you who see danger and you took refuge and you plan to store up, while the fools keep going on and suffering for it. It's right out of scripture, right? From the Inland Northwest Report, there is a video that's posted over there that I think that everybody needs to see. It is covering the former Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas, who oversaw the State Department of Education, sounded the alarm about what is happening in public schools across America in an interview with the New American Magazine's Alex Newman. Go to the Inland Northwest Report and watch that video. It's Get Them Out. That's the title of the video, Get Them Out. And that's what I've been saying. Get your kids out of the government indoctrination facilities ASAP. And I was talking to Forrest Garvin yesterday. Maybe he brought it up during the YouTube live show that he knew a couple of couples who are already bugging in or bugging out. One bugged out and went to the retreat location, and one family pulled their kids out of school and they're bugging in because of the coronavirus, because of COVID-19. They are bugging. One family's bugged out and the other family's bugging in. They're just going to hunker down and put themselves into self-quarantine as a proactive measure. And I thought, that's brilliant. Hey, whatever it takes to get your kids out of the public indoctrination system, maybe this family doesn't maybe they go to a private school, a private Christian school or something like that. I don't know if they, maybe they don't go to a public indoctrination, I mean, a government indoctrination facility, misleadingly called schools. But, you know, and here's, speaking of that, this really actually ties right in with something else that I was going to mention about Bernie Sanders being over there in talking about how wonderful Cuba is. He says, we're very opposed to the authoritarian nature of Cuba, but you know, it's unfair. This is Bernie Sanders. This is a quote from the communist that wants to be the leader of the United States of God's America. Says, we're very opposed to the authoritarian nature of Cuba, but you know, it's unfair to simply say everything's bad, you know? When Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing, even though Fidel Castro did it? Yes, it is. Why did he care about literacy? Why did Karl Marx care about literacy? Why did Lenin? Why did Stalin care about literacy? Because they need you to be able to read the propaganda. The literacy program was really to indoctrinate them into communist propaganda. And you can't do that if you have a bunch of illiterates. And it's a communist government indoctrination school. Naturally, they're going to develop a literacy program. Anyway, these people. So, finally, from the fellowshipoftheminds.com, I've seen a couple articles from them. I don't really know much about them, but this is interesting. They're the only ones that's picked up on this, at least from this angle. Washington State Governor Inslee slams Vice President Pence for coronavirus. Then a patient dies in Washington. So, the Democrats can't help themselves. In the midst of a medical crisis, they will do everything in their power to politicize the coronavirus to take down President Trump. This is why you can never work with these people to solve any problem. There's no middle ground with them, no reaching across the aisle. So they're talking about how they're trying to put the governor, Jay Inslee, is trying to put Vice President Pence. You couldn't even compare those two men. Inslee couldn't even hold a candle to Mike Pence. They're completely you have one man that's a righteous man with character, moral fiber, highly intelligent, up against Inslee. He's a disgrace. And a leftist, a global climate change hoax pusher. But anyway, one day after Governor Inslee's tweet, the first coronavirus death was confirmed in the U.S., which happened in King County, Washington. I just got a text right before the show that now there's a second death in King County, Washington, which is the greater Seattle area. They are giving no information about this. First, it was a woman. Now it's a man. Now it's a man. Well, maybe it's an it. We don't know. It is Seattle. So now King County, Washington, no details. They're like, they don't want you to know who this person was or anything, where they've been. It's you cannot get this information. It's just very interesting. Well, later in the day, Governor Inslee declared a state of emergency over the virus as two more King County cases have emerged. Of course, now one of them has passed away, reportedly, not confirmed. So three confirmed cases, and it's a state of emergency. From two people dying out of the thousands of people that die weekly in Washington State. And somebody says, oh, this is for just so that he can release funds. That's what it's for. That's what the state of emergency is for. I know that's what it's for. I'm not stupid. But matter of fact, quite the opposite. These people will let no crisis go to waste. We're talking about Marxist-influenced, globalist-minded, climate hoax pushing type of people that want nothing more than to grab power. They are as far to the left as you can get. They're off the freak scale. And when they do anything, it's not because, oh, they finally actually, this guy's this leftist actually did something good here. No, their motives are dark. They're just dark people. They're so wayward. You can't trust anything they do or push. And why do they need to file a state of emergency now? It's just so they can clear the way for red tape so they can start getting funding. And so what do they need funding for? Washington State has tens of billions of dollars surplus. But this will clear the way for federal relief money and aid programs and programs, government programs in an emergency should be, all kinds of red flags should be going up. It also clears the way for executive powers that the executive branch will have with extra constitutional powers, where they're waived from making certain to be granted certain powers that the Constitution wouldn't normally give them, but they're emergency powers. And also emergency legislation and measures that can be passed at a time when you've got a leftist, Marxist, globalist governor and a massively leftist dominated legislature in Washington State to conveniently have the opportunity to declare a state of emergency. You cannot trust a Marxist. You can't trust communists or socialist Democrats. Same thing. Watch, don't take your eye off of them. Watch what they're doing. All right, we'll be back with segment two right after this. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
All right, segment two here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, Studio A, inside the Free Zones, deeply held patriot territory. And speaking of patriots, this segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots like yourself get strategically relocated. Well, years ago was the time, but it's never too late. If you've prayerfully considered it and you feel led to get out of occupied territory and to move into an area which is much more conservative, help us strengthen these conservative areas, and you feel it's right to move you and your business into patriot territory, you're welcome. You might need some help. Get a hold of SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, and that's their website. Check them out, and they'd be glad to help you. So I've got, boy, a bunch of links and stuff. There's I went to Survival Blog like I usually do. Preparedness notes for Sunday, March 1st. And I scrolled down under the odds and sods, the survivalists odds and sods. And they tried to make that a bad name, a bad word, survivalist. I like it. I like it. Maybe call it thrivalist. Instead of just surviving something, how about, you know, trying to position yourself so you can thrive in adversity and austere conditions? I like it. Thrivalist. Okay, so my fellow thrivalists out there, maybe you're still a survivalist and haven't quite achieved thrivalist yet. I'm still a survivalist. All right. But desperate to stop virus spread, countries limit travel. This is some of the stuff going on around the world James Rawls and his team picked up on. Desperate to stop viruses spread, countries are limiting travel. Officials scrambled Tuesday to halt the spread of the burgeoning new virus from northern Italy, where troops were dispatched. Troops were dispatched, talked about this week already, to enforce quarantines, and schools were shuttered to South Korea, where some neighborhoods in a city of 2.5 million were brought to a near standstill. New clusters of the illness popped up far from its apparent point of origin in China, fueling apprehension in world financial markets and political institutions. This is the more dangerous thing, in my opinion, in my estimation, more than people getting sick, more than the virus itself. I don't mean to play down the virus like it's not a serious thing. I'm just saying, I think what is more dangerous to us in the long run is the loss of liberty and the desensitization to strict control measures enforced by police and military for our safety, for your own well-being. Now, if you've got a major outbreak, you know, using resources to control the movement of people, because they're saying the best thing that you could do is to keep this from spreading is to curtail movement, especially into and out of your most highly impacted or affected areas. So I get that. But we are just in a day and age where the government is not, you know, it's not protect and serve, it's enforce. And there's a shift in the mentality. And so I'm concerned. A lot of times when they take a piece of freedom, you don't usually get it back. So coronavirus outbreak spreads in Europe from Italy. Linked over at whatfinger.com, news aggregate site. There is this from the BBC. Coronavirus outbreak spreads in Europe from Italy. And James Rawls puts his own comments in here. And also I'll share those with you. These reports of an asymptomatic spread now makes a global pandemic almost a certainty. In my estimation, the remaining key questions are, and these are just questions for all of us to ask or to look for answers for. Stay aware and look for the answers or solutions to these. So one, what are the true morbidity or death rates for those infected and those who are reinfected? Now, just stop right there on that note. You know, one thing I realized I had not seen for weeks and weeks were survivors. People coming out and describing to us, what's it like? What does it feel like? What did you go through? Did you have hallucinations? Did you have stomach cramps? Did you have, what did you go through, personally experience, and what helped you relieve some of the symptoms, what worked, what didn't? Learn from these people's experiences. Well, I just finally saw one, the first case, and it was one of the guys on the with a Princess Cruise line in California saying, I feel fine. I have a mild case of the flu. And I mean, I don't feel great, but I don't have the shaky fever. I've had way worse flus before, and he's on the road to recovery. And that's what the CDC said. The overwhelming majority of the people will experience a mild flu-like symptoms, but about 13 to 18% will be serious, where they may even require hospitalization. And about half of those would be at the critical state, which is higher than most flus. And this has a death rate of about 2% from what we've been able to gauge. I think once it hits Europe and like Italy and other Western countries, I think we'll get a more accurate picture than what we're going to see coming out of China. There's reports now showing, unconfirmed, of course, by me, but they're reporting that the Chinese government is underreporting deaths and cases by up to 50 times. So it's 50 times more than what their official numbers are. That's believable. That's plausible because they're communists and you can't trust a communist. You could throw the Empire State Building farther than you can trust a single communist. So he asks, what will be the hospitalization rate in the U.S.? There are only 900,000 hospital beds for a national population of 350 million. The third question, are there enough hospital ventilators for those who become critically ill? Four, will the China-dependent supply chains break down for antibiotics, intubation supplies, N95 masks, and so forth? Well, we're already seeing that. What are the full global economic implications? This may very well be the black swan event that we were warned about. Absolutely, it could be. And this could turn, the CDC said, this could turn bad really fast. Right now, it's a low-risk situation, but that can change just on a dime. So we're watchful. Last night, it was really a great privilege. We had a good time for Sam Culper from Forward Observer and myself to be the guests on PrepperNet's YouTube channel. And tonight, earlier, they had Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. And by the way, those are up. If you missed it, those are live, but they're recorded as they're happening. So you could go as soon as the show's over. It's there. It's there while it's playing, and it just sticks like Velcro. It just stays there. So you can watch it anytime. You can go back and watch those. This was night three, how to protect your family from the coronavirus, COVID-19. Now, from an emergency communications standpoint, I didn't really have a lot to contribute, I felt, like, you know, to how to protect your family from the coronavirus, COVID-19. I've tried to stay in my lane. Forrest Garvin, you know, pulled me out of my lane a few times asking, what do I think of the political ramifications? Where do we see, you know, the on the political side, things being affected, or just kind of the human behavioral reaction side of things. So we talked about that a little bit. I just want to address communications quickly. From a virus outbreak like we're seeing right now, we have plenty of worst case scenarios. The highest impact examples that we can draw from would be China. Iran, and of course, not a lot of information coming out of Iran, but China, we can see that there were, you know, well into the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people affected, and whole cities shut down, manufacturing brought to a standstill, and that's kind of where they are right now. That's actually tapering off. So the virus is tapering off in China. As far as the rapid growth rate of the spread of the virus. And in all of this, we've not seen any grid down situation. We've not seen a blackout. We have not seen conventional communications being disrupted. It's government controlling, cell phone, internet, things like that. But they're still functional. And that's where we've gotten a lot of our information, through the internet and social media and so on. So I don't really see the need for emergency communications, grid down, radio operators taken to the airwaves to communicate in this particular virus situation, unless something, you know, drastic, unforeseen thing that's injected into this this disaster, if you want to call it that, this emergency that we're facing. So I did throw out a couple things. I could see emergency communications or radio communications being implemented in a couple of different ways, potentially. One, and I guess probably the most probable or practical would be if you were in quarantine. If families are being quarantined and they're recommending people quarantine themselves because it's spread that bad, like we saw in these large metropolitan areas in China. They sell these Baofeng radios, the little Baofeng 888s. They're like $10. You could pre-program it. It doesn't have a keypad or anything. It's got a volume on and off and like four channels or nine channels you can program into it. But you could leave that at the end of the driveway or at your gate with a note for your neighbors. If you need to contact us, please don't enter our property. We're under quarantine. If you need to contact us, turn this radio on. We'll be monitoring. So something like that, I can see radio communications being used. Of course, now they make wireless intercoms, even with video now. So that's kind of where I see the extent in a disaster, pandemic, epidemic, outbreak, quarantine type of an environment. That's where I see it. So far, you know, the grids, there's no reason to expect that the grid would be disrupted based on what we've seen the largest waves of this outbreak, you know, go through other countries. But hey, if your neighbor comes over and they say, I need to borrow a cup of sugar, you know, okay, great. Then, you know, step away or, you know, come back in half an hour and we'll have it sitting out there for you in a little Ziploc bag. Put it in the mailbox. And you know, you can communicate. But what we're hoping people will do in advance is establish and hopefully and God bless you guys who've been working with your neighbors and talking to them about what if scenarios and talking people into getting MERS or CBs or FRS radios, or even for some of them, their ham radio licenses. And you've got whole communities that are holding regular practice nets with each other for just in case. And so it's really impressive. God bless you guys for doing that. That's the neighborhood that's going to thrive and do much better out the other side. That's the difference between surviving and thriving. You got neighbors that can communicate with each other and, hey, you know, my chainsaw, whatever, I spilled my gasoline. Can I borrow a gallon of gasoline for my chainsaw so I can, you know, get these limbs off my roof? Sure, no problem. There's neighbors working with each other, communicating with each other using radios and in a quarantine situation. Of course, for that matter, you could just call them on the cell phone. But anyway, you know, I just tried to like stretch to think of ideas for, you know, how radio communications could be used in this particular scenario that we're faced with. But I did get a listener letter. I wanted to just read that real quickly and pass it on to you. Hi, JJS. During the Saturday show, you mentioned avoiding cash for the time being. However, I probably work in the worst possible field during an outbreak like this. I work two jobs to provide for my wife and five kids in Western Washington. Oh, and you're in Western Washington on top of it. Well, God bless you there. Stay strong. Hang in there. That's a hardworking individual. Both are retail related. Monday through Friday, I'm a vendor packing shelves and selling in displays in 30 plus grocery stores. On the weekends, I'm a cashier also at a grocery store. How would you recommend folks like me prepare and stay safe? All right. Now, here's the thing. You know, there are people that don't smoke that get lung cancer. You know, there are people that smoke and they live to be, you know, in their upper 90s. You can do everything right and still get the virus, you know, and you could just walk around touching your face, licking counters and doorknobs and everything else and never get the virus. So there are no guarantees, but what we want to do is minimize. Now, I'm not a medical professional, but all of the medical professionals that I have been in contact with over the recent weeks have said there's two top things that you can do. Forget about the 95 masks. As soon as you breathe, the moisture content immediately starts to break down the effectiveness of them. You have to change one out every like 3 minutes or 5 minutes. You also have to have eye protection. Your eyes are like perfect little swirling pools, grabbing everything out of the air, including viruses that pull everything right into your tear duct system. But they're saying the number one thing is wash your hands. Hygiene, personal hygiene. Stop touching your face. Every medical personnel that I've been talking to, or many of them, is saying the best reason for you to wear an N95 mask or any mask is to prevent you from touching your face, because you don't even realize how much you do it just within 5 minutes. After you leave the store and you had your counter, your hand sitting on the counter, your wallet laying on the counter, you set your cell phone down on the counter, or somebody else just came and sneezed, or they were talking and their spittle is going everywhere and you just touch your face with it. So personal hygiene, wash your hands. And I normally in the prepper world, you know, we talked, you know, a lot of times have cash store. Cash is king. Forget it. The debit cards won't work in an emergency disaster situation. Well, this one's slightly different because cash is one of the most horrible personal hygiene things that you can handle out there, because so many people have their hands on it. It's fibrous, it's porous, it grabs onto, it holds everything that touches it, which is all the humans and all the other stuff, and who knows where their hands have been. So in this case, I would say, you know what, if I got to go and get gas and fuel up, I'm going to use my debit card. I'm going to wipe down the keypad with my my Clorox wipes, punch the keypad, fuel up, and, you know, wipe my hands down afterward and get back in and go. I never have to interact with anybody. I don't have to exchange cash with anybody. And I think that's the preferable way. So minimizing your exposure. Look, if you are a cashier and you're handling cash all day, every day, then washing your hands, personal hygiene is going to be huge. I think also you're going to see it's going to become increasingly normal, just like in Asia, to see a large number of people walking around in public with a dust mask or N95 type masks on. So at some point, it might be very normal for you to wear that while you are working, if nothing else, just to help keep you from touching your face so much. So personal hygiene, especially washing your hands and avoiding touching your face, is the number one piece of advice that medical professionals have been passing on. The second one is boost your immune system. On that note, there's been a lot of talk about elderberry. It's the number one, man. It's what you got to have. Elderberry for, you know, killing. It's great for the flu. It's great for the colds. But this one is different. This COVID-19, slightly different. Because they're saying that elderberry, right now with this late, this strain, creates this cytokine. I talked about it last week. Cytokine storm, how it disrupts your immune system. And actually, the elderberry, which normally helps you with flu, cold, things like that, actually has the opposite effect. Cytokine storm. You can look that up. Survival Blog's got a great article on it. So let's see. Let's go ahead and let's take a break. I want to invite you guys to check out, speaking of grid down, that's something that I've been wanting to put some emphasis on. I think from a grid down perspective, we have a much higher probability of facing a grid down threat from the Iranian cyber threat, which has not gone away. Remember, we're all distracted. We have short attention spans, and COVID-19 and the coronavirus is on the news page. It's what everybody's talking about, and everybody wants to know about what they should do. And I still believe that that's the perfect time to get, while you're looking one way, to get sucker punched from the other way. And so our power, electrical power backup system, is something we don't want to take our eyes off of. Transportable power from Bright Lights Solar. If you go to Amron.com, over on the right hand side, there's a blue business card size banner with a picture of a sun on it and clouds, and it's a powder blue colored banner. Click on that and check it out. They've got some amazing portable emergency communications. That's expandable. It's fixed site or portable. Really cool. And that's brightlightssolar.com. And you want to click on that banner, though, because at Amron.com, because they've got the discount code, which is Amron. So anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back to segment three right after this.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
This is the third segment of The Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from Patriot Territory in the Free Zones. This segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property to get the most out of it as far as food production, water production, security. You want to have the ability to lock your place down, keep it secure, maybe during a quarantine type of situation. You want to protect your family. Maybe you want to get find out from professionals how to lay out your property to get the most out of all those things, including securing your water rights. Get a hold of Strategic Landscape Design. And that's their website, strategiclandscapedesign.com. All right, last week I talked about Bernie Sanders with his fist clenched, pounding into the air, saying, "I believe in democratic socialism for the working class people, not the billionaires." Of course, he's a multimillionaire, right? So talking to both sides of his mouth. But that's how communists are, because they want communism, which inherently is very restrictive and chokes the life out of its people, except for the few chosen elite. And he's one of them. So no wonder he thinks it'd be such a wonderful thing. So I started talking about how the young, impressionable, frothing at the mouth, screaming with their little beaks up in the air, wide open, begging for communism in support of Bernie. It reminds me of the Bolshevik Revolution, which, of course, I wasn't alive and around for, but it reminds me of the stories that I've read about it and the history that I've read about it. It created this, well, actually, it was a false sense of, this is what everybody wants, comrade. How come you're not on board, comrade? Why are you opposed to a couple of new families moving into your apartment, dividing it up with blankets thumbtacked to the ceiling? Aren't you willing to do your fair share, comrade, and help others out? And I remember reading stories of people having to bust up their pianos and other family heirlooms and the stair railing and everything else for firewood because they couldn't get it. People starving to death because food was being used as a weapon. Lenin, then Stalin. So we want no part of it. Everywhere it's been tried, it's failed. And we're not going to fall for it, where this time they just did it wrong. This time it'll be a new and improved communism. Not like how these other people. And it's not so bad. That's what Bolshevik Bernie says. It's not so bad. Everybody says it's so bad, but it's not. Everything is bad. Well, we don't want any of it. We don't even want that camel to get its nose under the tent. We're going to whack it. Whack it with a little billy club. Just smack that camel right on the tip of the nose as soon as it sticks its nose in there. Laying the groundwork. So there's the six stages, and that's what I'm going to go through real quickly here in the last two segments. And I want to read, and this is from an article from thefederalist.com. I love that website, thefederalist.com. Go there, and you can just read about American heritage and history, but also other world history. The Bolshevik Revolution. Just go to thefederalist.com, type in Bolshevik Revolution. And in this article, I'm going to share with you, it's the six phases of freedom under communist misery. And very well done. It was, who wrote this? Let me find out. What's the lady's name? She did such a great job with it. I want to pull this up. Talked about, the Cheka last week. You know, I think I cut off her name, unfortunately. I'll find it. I know I've got it in my notes somewhere here that I'm missing this. I'm overlooking it. But at alphahistory.com, they were talking about the Red Terror. This is an article about their Bolshevik-ordered campaign of intimidation, arrests, violence, and executions that began in the mid-1918. And this was anybody who was politically opposed to them. Remember the stages that I identified as when a group of people are being oppressed, and there are multiple stages of it. And it starts with the marginalization, and then demonization, and then criminalization, incarceration, then extermination. And that's where we're well into the third phase of that, where we're transferring over from demonization. Gun owners are evil. Homeschooling parents are evil. People that bake cakes and will refuse to make this a work of art for this homosexual so-called pretend marriage. This is perfectly unacceptable. Well, instead of now, they're moving from demonization to criminalization, where now it's not just enough for you to not want to participate in this cultural failed experiments one after the other, but now we're going to pass a law that if you don't, we will criminalize. We're going to criminalize it, and we're going to penalize you. We're going to fine you. And then it's going to be incarceration, and then finally extermination. This is what we've seen the world over, and this is what people who have been here. Oh, that's her name. Stella Morbido, from the Federalist.com. She's the one that wrote this article. Excellent. Excellent. Written a couple of years ago, November of 2017. Scarcity, terror, and the mass murder of more than 100 million victims are communism's main contributions to human history. As we mark the centennial of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia on November 7th, we should never forget that legacy. Communism is a fount of human misery and death. Few today really understand what that system of so-called government is all about. But those who have fled from, I mean, look at the Cubans who lived under communism. They're waving Trump banners saying, go Trump, never let socialism or communism come here. We've heard the testimonies, but they're drowned out by liars and deceivers like Bernie Sanders and all the useful idiots that are waving the Bernie banners in the air because they want free stuff. They don't realize what a price that comes with that. They don't realize that most of those people will end up coming in, end up in chains as well, because they're inherently rebellious people anyway. They want to buck the system. Well, the system they're begging for, they're going to get, and then they're going to say, "Hey, I don't like this." And they're, "What's wrong with you, comrade? You're not on board. You're going right to the gulag along with everyone else. Thanks for helping usher this garbage in, by the way." But I want to go through this article that Stella wrote. Stella Morabito, November 6, 2017, from thefederalist.com. So there's six phases. I'm going to read the first three, and then I'm going to cover the second three, or the four through six, in the fourth segment. Laying the groundwork. This is usually a generational or decades-long process. This stuff's going to sound familiar to you as I'm going through this. Excellent analysis of how communism, the creeping gradualism, like that? I just made that up. Creeping gradualism of communism. Whew, that's a lot of syllables. Okay. In which minds can be closed to reason and more influenced by emotion and propaganda. This happens in many ways through the mass bureaucratization of life that allows for policies that promote polarization, dependency, and human isolation. Is that not what we're seeing? Through disabling independent thinking by educational fads that actually cultivate ignorance and shun content knowledge. Can anybody say outcome-based education? Through the attack on the humanities in both K-12 and higher education, and through the lack of general knowledge about how mass psychology works. All the while, as new communications technologies develop and proliferate, they are embedded into the groundwork that promotes tyranny over liberty. Through the effects of these trends, people become less open to logic and more persuaded by the proliferation of images and emotional appeals cemented by groupthink. That's our culture today. That's just a perfect description of what we have created in the United States. Two, manufacturing propaganda. Propaganda has always been with us and always will be. But as people become less able to discern fact from fiction, propaganda feeds on itself more intensely. As emotions trump facts, propaganda tends to become more forceful and more focused on driving people to agitate for collectivist agendas. It takes a multitude of forms, but the Orwellian manipulation of language is always the key to thought reform. Then journalists increasingly become propagandists and promote illusions of alternative realities. This includes the revision of history, as well as the trends such as gender ideology, which pushes to de-sex everybody in the eyes of the law. As propaganda takes the form of political correctness, it threatens people with societal rejection if they don't conform to the politically correct agendas. In this way, it induces self-censorship and preference falsification to create the illusion of public opinion support for its agendas. And this is what they do. They will take something that 1% of the people want, like trannies, for example, and they'll push it as if everybody wants it, and you are the weirdo, the intolerant, insensitive, hateful person who's against it. You're the last holdout. What's wrong with you? But it's false. It's false that everybody wants this and that everybody supports this. They're coerced. Political correctness is the sort of agitprop that can grow a cult mindset in the population. Now, 3, agitating the masses. Sound familiar? Once the groundwork's been laid and propaganda absorbed by enough people, agitation can proliferate. As Lenin made clear, agitation and propaganda go together and are absolutely essential to communist revolutions. As that sort of agitation becomes more prevalent in public life, there's more speed on the road to totalitarianism. Agitation can involve protests, parades, marches, demonstrations. It also involves organized shout downs of legislators and 100 other means of trying to affect public policy by influencing public opinion. During this phase, imitative behaviors proliferate, such as we've seen among the NFL players during the national anthem. It seems that hatred and frustration are more palpable everywhere in the society. Indeed, the media, Hollywood and academia, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, would have us focus on nothing else. We see iconoclasm in this phase. As in the defacing of public statues and national monuments, the education establishment becomes involved in politically agitating children, creating confusion and frustration, and of even cultivating hostility toward their parents if they aren't with the program. Is any of this sounding familiar? Look around in the culture. You cannot have not been able to have seen this unless you are living under a rock. Well, I know that most of you in this listening audience are very acutely aware of what's going on, having a hard time maybe even articulating it and putting it into words. You know, you can sense it. You feel it in your gut. You know something's not right, but you can't quite put it in the right words. Well, here it is. She's done an amazing job. I'm going to continue in segment 4 with the final 3 phases, the advancement of communism. So you know what you're seeing around you. It is calculated. It is cunning. It is deliberate. It's orchestrated. It's intentional. And we need to be intentional in standing up against it. But you can't, if you can even identify it, you can't even put it into words what it is that you're facing. But that thing that just doesn't feel right, well, this is why. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and we'll be back with segment 4 right after this.
The free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them. Looking around and all over, this large, magnificent planet. The truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
And we are back with segment four, the final segment here of The Voice of the American Redoubt. You know, I think I said episode seven. Did I say episode 07, 2007? It should be the sixth episode. Unless I'm just I'm losing track because I'm just having so much fun. Maybe it is episode six. Anyway, we're here with another episode. I'll look at, you know, when I go to finish out the audio and upload it to Podbean later tonight, I'll see what the last one was and I'll update my notes. All right. So we're talking about communism, something that we love talking about, love exposing, kind of like a flashlight on cockroaches. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. It's a American Redoubt company. Made all their products. Their custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers are made here in the American Redoubt. And they're actually shifting their specializing. And I'm glad to see this because a lot of companies are not doing this. Holster companies, accessories for your handguns, such as lasers or tactical lights and so on, and all the different types of configurations that you can set your pistol up with. It's hard to find a holster that fits it just right. So it's custom made. And that's what these guys do. They custom make their Kydex holsters. And they have a lifetime guarantee on all their products, if I didn't already say that, but maybe I did. But there you go again. All right, works.com is their website. So the messaging here, the Red Terror is what they used to implement using the Cheka. It was the first in a whole succession of Soviet secret police type organizations. They had the NVD and the NKVD and so on. So number four. We went through one through three in this article, and so I want to finish it up with four through six. Consolidating the takeover of society's institutions. As I go through this, ask, does this sound familiar? Is this what's happening? And you read the planks of the Communist Party and their goals, which were read to Congress in the 60s. These guys are fulfilling. They told us what they're going to do. Now they're doing it, and we're all like yawning, looking the other way. Not we all, but too many Americans don't even realize the enemy. You will, if you do not understand your enemy, if you don't know your enemy, you're going to lose. Consolidating the takeover of society's institutions. That's number four. About 100 years ago, the Italian communist Antonio Gramsci introduced his theory of cultural hegemony. I've heard it pronounced both ways, hegemony, which cast cultural institutions as the enemy, claiming they were used to maintain power. So the key to achieving communism in the West was through destroying its culture, not through promoting socialist economic policies that had little appeal in the West. This would require a long march through the institutions of society, destroying them from within so communism could fill the vacuum. Radicals of the 1960s like Herbert Marcuse and Alinsky picked up on this theme, noting that the system, like American freedom, could only be destroyed from within once radical operatives had control over society's institutions. The deep state is one example that's been building through decades of bureaucratic bloat. That's why you've got an entire federal government working to subvert the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, because of the decades long. It's not just the previous president, President 44, the president who will not be named, and putting appointees in there, although there's a lot of them. This has been going on long before. This was during the Clintons, even during the Bush administrations. These people are still there. They're globalists, and they're working to undermine this only president who's had the guts to stand up to him in, I don't know, since when. Anyway, with operatives embedded throughout the government, including in the military and intelligence agencies. You hearing this? And, of course, the cultural takeover of the media, academia, and entertainment is both broad and deep. And I would even say the church. The church has been infiltrated with Marxist ideologies. We have so-called Christian. This is where you're seeing the Pharisaical type of Christians now that are calling. They're calling out. They're joining the world. They want to be accepted by the world. This is where the bone and the marrow is being cut and separated. But most importantly, the mediating institutions have been relentlessly attacked. Those are the institutions that protect the individual from encroachment by the state, particularly the family, the church, and all voluntary and civic associations. Look what they've done to the Boy Scouts. Look what they've done to churches. Look what they've done to multiple different advocacy groups, including private organizations or Christian-based organizations. We can see and feel especially how the family has been eroded today. All of these institutions have been deeply affected by statist forces, rendering them more vulnerable than ever to a total absorption by the mass state, a prerequisite for communism. Number 5, forcing conformity. This is perhaps the most unsettling phase when otherwise discerning people who would have been duped by the rhetoric of social justice finally awaken to the deceit within the agitprop. This is the stage in which you are told to conform and convert or else. We see small shop owners threatened with financial ruin if they don't disavow their faith. We see Catholic nuns like Little Sisters of the Poor threatened for not disavowing their faith. We see echoes of the Maoist-style struggle sessions, otherwise known as sessions of criticism and self-criticism, as college students are forced to admit to white privilege simply because they had a happy childhood. False confessions proliferate, along with apologies and recantations for showing even the slightest hint of a politically incorrect viewpoint. A surveillance state can grow with new technologies being used for data mining. At the same time, human resources departments start telling employees to report for discipline any politically incorrect private conversation that they might overhear, and also the social media, what we've seen. Someone makes a private social media posting on their Facebook page, and they're facing consequences from their employer. Millennial celebrity Lena Dunham modeled a Soviet-style surveillance state by tweeting to American Airlines that she overheard two flight attendants having a transphobic conversation for which they should be punished. The practice of ritual defamation, smears such as bigot, racist, KKK, become commonplace. And perhaps most chilling, psychiatry is used as a political weapon. And number 6, the final solutions phase. Of course, we aren't there yet, not yet anyway, but perhaps you'll agree that we should always be aware of the lessons of history if we don't want to repeat its more unsavory chapters. In the last phase, which is fast and furious, totalitarian elites let loose their inclination to brutally eliminate their perceived enemies. It happens in what Soviet defector Yuri Bezmenov identified as the normalization stage. After subversion of a nation is complete, it's as though they can't do anything but eliminate their perceived enemies because they just don't know how to do anything else. The body count in the Soviet Gulag state, including reigns of terrors and purges intended to rid the country of counter-revolutionaries, was in the tens of millions. In this phase, violence is considered simply a necessary means to achieving the goal of centralized power. There is not even a pretense of due process or respect for free speech. Yet there are pretexts given for eliminating perceived enemies, excuses that have the perpetrators projecting their own intentions upon their victims. That's an old and tragic story. And she, the article goes on, but she writes this, and I keyed in on this. Freedom must be fought for tooth and nail. Then it must be appreciated and nurtured, never taken for granted. And that's what the Founding Fathers said. You must be eternally vigilant. And President Ronald Reagan said that freedom, the liberties that we enjoy, are only one generation away from vanishing. Interesting how far we've come. I remember President Reagan as a president when I was in high school. Matter of fact, he was my first commander in chief. But man, would just be amazing to serve under President Trump as a commander in chief. The troops love him. So anyway, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. You have a blessed rest of the week. Just remember to lean on him. The Lord is our king. There is no king but Jesus. And he reigns. That's the biggest problem that most people have. It's not the coronavirus. It's salvation. If you have that, and if you know Christ, the biggest problem you could ever face is already taken care of. Everything else is meh. Right? That's a good place to be. Okay. 73, God bless. And you guys stay safe. Watch your six. And until we meet either on the air, if you are in Amron this week during our training nets, or next Saturday or Sunday night for a Radio Free Readout podcast. Oh, real quick, before I let you guys go, I want to remind you, stick around for Lady Liberty's Liberty State Radio episode. I think it's 24 or 25. I'm pretty sure it's 25 coming up right after this show with updates from Olympia. She always does a really great job, and she's really appreciated you guys' support. So I thought I'd just pass that on, but stick around for that. And then right after that will be I Was a Communist for the FBI. Old-time radio spy counter-communist adventure. Good stuff. Anyway, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt from the Free Zones. Good night.